From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at regional and statewide news. In her annual address to a joint session of the legislature yesterday, U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski told lawmakers that the state should do more to help Alaskans get real IDs.
This is going to take state resources in order to get out to these communities. And in fairness, it's not something that we can just pass the plate and ask for it to be funded. We've just got to put the resources towards it so that people can move.
Rural lawmakers have said the state should put more money toward helping residents get the federally required IDs by the October deadline. State officials asked in December for donations to bring state workers to villages to make real IDs, but the program has been affected by technical problems. In a press conference after the speech, Murkowski told reporters she's concerned about President Donald Trump directing money from military procurement and the National Guard to build the wall along the border with Mexico. She says Congress controls the federal purse strings under the U.S. Constitution.
We, as the congressional branch, have our powers under Article 1, and we will exercise them.
Murkowski said in the speech that the Trump impeachment trial may have been the most deeply partisan experience of her career. She was asked by a reporter whether she sees parallels with the recall campaign against Governor Mike Dunleavy. Murkowski says she sees Alaska as less partisan than Washington, D.C.
I mean, it seems to me that Alaskans are just so much more practical and pragmatic about what it is that we are dealing with that really matters. And I hope that we're able to stay that way. I hope that we don't let this divide us.
Murkowski also said federal highway funding legislation will be useful as the state plans for the future of the Alaska Marine Highway System. Stand Tall with Mike, the group opposing the recall of Governor Mike Dunleavy, dropped its appeal seeking to block the recall yesterday. The group questioned Alaska Chief Justice Joel Bolger's ability to remain impartial in the case. The clerk for the Alaska Supreme Court responded today to those concerns in a letter to lawyers in the case. The letter reiterated that Bolger does not have any personal bias or prejudice concerning Dunleavy or other parties in the recall lawsuit. The letter offered an explanation as to why Bolger made public statements related to two of the four listed grounds for the recall. In a press conference today, Dunleavy said that it was those public statements that led Stand Tall with Mike to believe it would be difficult for Bolger to hear the case.
It raises questions. I'm not prepared to say that the Supreme Court justice is bound and determined to stick it to myself. I'm not prepared to say that. I don't have evidence of that.
Dunleavy says Stand Tall with Mike was concerned about how the court would rule.
And I want to believe that the courts can be fair and individuals on the courts can be fair. We'll find out. But we are preparing that there's already an inevitable decision that's going to be made, is the feeling.
Stand Tall with Mike didn't seek to disqualify Justice Bolger. According to the court clerk, any party can ask for the justice to be disqualified by February 26th. Failure to do this would waive the potential disqualification. The State Division of Elections continues to appeal the case. And empty grocery store shelves are becoming a common sight in coastal communities that rely on the Alaska Marine Highway System to stock food. As the shutdown in regional ferry service continues, private business owners are trying to keep up with the demand as desperate customers look for options. I filed this report. Alina Elliott is a mother of two in Hoonah. She says stores there stocked up on groceries in anticipation of reduced ferry service. But after more than a month without a boat, most of those supplies have run out.
Now we walk into the store and their shelves are empty. There's no eggs, there's no milk, but they're doing their best to fly stuff over. But it's no comparison to the ferry.
Elliot says many people in her community are now relying on air transport for basic necessities. Things like Instacart or packages from family and friends that live elsewhere. But shipping costs are expensive, and weather delays mean there's no guarantee for when those orders will arrive. Elliot's sister in Juneau recently sent her a head of lettuce and a gallon of milk. She says when the care package arrived, it felt like treasure. Even still, Elliot says it's hard not to feel abandoned by the state right now.
We have no support. It's getting rough. I have to ask people for help. To where I didn't have to before, and it feels just degrading.
Communities like Angoon, Gustavus, Hoona, and others that rely on ferries are desperately seeking options to get the things they need. Ward Air is one of the private charter services picking up the slack. In the company's hangar in Juneau, pilot Desmond Kiesel is keeping busy. He was scheduled to take off at 1 p.m. with a load of groceries destined for Hoona, but the weather didn't cooperate.
We just have to be a little more patient this time of the year.
Business has been brisk for Ward Air and a few other flight operators in the region.
With the ferries down, we've definitely picked up service to the communities that we normally probably go to infrequently this time of the year.
This being Alaska, flight delays are common, and that's not ideal for perishables like produce and meat. Over in Gustavus, Toshua Parker owns a store called Toshco. When the ferries are running, that's how he regularly ships goods in from Costco in Juneau. But more than a year ago, he decided to invest in a boat of his own, a 96-foot landing craft.
So we were 100% ferry dependent and only did this as an insurance policy against the potential of what was going on with the ferries, which kind of ended up happening.
Now that the ferries aren't running, Parker makes the trip to Juneau pretty much every week to stock up. Even though he's found a workaround for the time being, he says the cost of operating a private vessel isn't sustainable, at least not without raising prices.
We would much rather just see the ferries running for everyone involved. It's the best way to go.
Last week, Juneau's native corporation, Gold Belt Inc., partnered with Hoona Totem Corporation to transport a load of basketball players, tax accountants, groceries, and supplies to Hoona on board one of Gold Belt's catamarans. Gold Belt's McHugh Pierre says regional corporations are looking for ways to work together like this to help communities weather ferry gaps.
We see this as a bridge. Obviously, we can't carry automobiles or motorcycles, but we can carry, 10,000 pounds of cargo at one time, and that's certainly a help.
Gold Belt also submitted an application to the Department of Transportation earlier this month to provide charter service to Angoon, Cake, and Hoona. Those communities aren't slated to see a ferry until March. DOT has not yet said when charter service would start. And since the breakdown of the Alaska Marine Highway System, schools have had to look for alternative transportation to get their students to and from sports competitions and other activities. On Monday, Haines and Skagway schools partnered to hire Allen Marine to bring students home from Juneau by boat. Other people trying to get between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway were able to take advantage of the trip as well. KHNS's Henry Leisha reports.
Haines Glacier Bears basketball teams were scheduled to play a series of games against other schools in southeast Alaska last week. After the ferry shutdown, the Haines school had planned to fly the students, but a reality TV film crew working for A&E's Ghost Hunters had chartered a boat from Haines to Juneau. They let the teams catch a ride with them. Amanda Painter is an assistant coach for the girls' basketball team in Haines. She says it wasn't smooth sailing.
We took this boat on Saturday and then had to turn around kind of near Seduction Point with the Ghost Hunter crew. And the next day we stayed on this dock for 2 hours.
Eventually the winds died down enough to get to Juneau. From there, the basketball teams made their way to Metlakatla and Craig to play a total of 4 games. Painter says with all of the different types of transportation required to get between communities, they were traveling nonstop.
It was constant movement. One day we took 3 buses, 2 boats, 2 flights, and 1 shuttle.
On the last leg of their journey from Juneau to Haines, flights were canceled for 3 days because of inclement weather. And the Haines basketball teams weren't the only ones trying to get home. Drama, debate, and forensics teams from Haines and Skagway had been competing at the state championships in Juneau. Other residents from Haines and Skagway were grounded in Juneau as well. Haines School Superintendent Roy Getchell says that both the Haines and Skagway schools decided to pay for a private marine charter.
Because there was a critical need to get our students home, to get students from Skagway home, and to do our best as a community to respond to something that nobody has planned for, and that's no ferry service for the Upper Lynn Canal for 7 weeks or more.
3 weeks ago, Alaska's Department of Transportation paid Allen Marine to shuttle stranded travelers between Haines, Skagway, and Juneau. Since then, the state has not paid for any more trips. The Hainesboro Assembly discussed funding private charters at a meeting last week, but instead decided to request that the state fund alternative transportation while the ferry system is offline. Getchell says it was only possible for the Haines and Skagway schools to book a private charter for their students because they could charge other passengers for the remaining seats on the boat.
You know, because of the demand, it's going to actually really favor us, and things have fallen our way in that regard. But this is not a sustainable long-term solution for our school district or any school district in Southeast Alaska.
Getchell says that Haines School Activities Director Lindsay Swinton has had to adapt to constantly changing travel circumstances.
The thing that's been so hard is the logistics, you know, planning 1 or 2 days in advance. It's just required a whole lot of work, and I am so appreciative of our activities director, Lindsay.
In spite of all the trials and tribulations, Coach Painter says it was an excellent trip.
That's why I'm here in Alaska, because of adventure. It's adventure traveling and seeing new parts of Alaska. So it was great to bond with the girls.
The Glacier Bears basketball teams will hit the road again next week for a series of games against Wrangell and Petersburg. In Haines, I'm Henry Leisha.
And you can find more from that story and more on KTOO.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.